Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon FBA private label and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring another special guest. His name is Tyler Delarm, and he's the head of marketing at On Digital, where they specialize on everything that has to do with the unboxing experience. We know when it comes to Amazon, things are getting tougher. Finding ways to differentiate are getting also tougher. And sometimes the conversation is never around the unboxing experience. We know that sometimes when it comes to branding, one of the things that we really try is like when we get the new product in our hands, we open that box and we have that unique experience, which is why, for example, brands such as Apple have always that a unique perception in terms of, you know, the value that they bring to the market. And that's why I wanted to bring Tyler today, because I feel, unfortunately, a lot of people in the Amazon space and e-commerce in general don't spend enough time figuring out how I make my unboxing experience unique so people can stop buying my products, essentially. That's what we want to achieve. So, Tyler, pleasure to have you today on the show. How you doing, my friend?
Vincenzo, thank you so much for having me. It's a beautiful day. Any day I'm waking up and I'm breathing, it's a great day to be here.
It's a win. It's a win, 100%. And I think, you know, we had this conversation before going live. When it comes to unboxing, I feel there's so much that we can do. There are so many verticals brands can, you know, brainstorm in terms of how to make their experience unique. And I'm very intrigued to hear, you know, what you guys do on digital to really bring this unique perception in terms of branding. Because as I say, so many times I buy things on Amazon or Walmart, or different marketplaces. And sometimes when I receive that box, I just feel so disappointed. It's like, oh, another cardboard. No life to the box. There's nothing that makes me excited about buying this product again. And I'm sure you're going to drop some nuggets in terms of how we can make that experience unique. So before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about, you know, the company On Digital, what you guys do. And then, of course, let's dive deeper into the topic.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. I don't want to sell what we're doing. But On Digital is an unboxing experience platform. And basically what we help brands do is monetize their outgoing boxes through marketing inserts. So we help them set up templates in the platform, and then those templates get assigned to audience segments within their CRM. And anytime a box is shipped to a certain client, it like sees what template they line up with, and it drops that insert into their box. So it's a combination of a platform and technology that sits in the warehouse. Yeah. And we help them to figure out basically what template works, what template doesn't work. It's a lot like optimizing your ads or your email campaigns.
Yeah,
like,
or your landing pages, effectively.
Exactly.
To some extent, it's a landing page. Yeah, of course.
And so we're able to tie in like any personalization data that they want on their template. And so it's just like, you know, an email, you'd have like personalization tokens that you can say whatever you want to say, depending on what data you have in their CRM. And then you kind of test those messages over time.
Wow, I love it. I think, and I can tell you, like so many times I have these conversations that people tell me, you know, should I do an insert? And if I'm honest with you, most of the time, people, when it comes to an insert, they go very basic. The only thing they do sometimes is just add an insert that say, thank you, car, an email or a phone number or a very basic QR code that just go to a very generic landing page. And that's where I really want to break the stigma, because that's the reality. A lot of people feel inserts and unboxing doesn't really add a lot of value because they don't do it correctly. That's the issue. They don't know how to leverage that a connection with the client. So let's start a little bit about from the perception of, let's say I'm a brand owner. I want to start really figuring out how I go about customizing this boxing experience. What is the starting point? How do I even start brainstorming how I create this experience? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So when it comes to your unboxing experience, we want brands to start thinking of it as this value add touch point that it really needs its own strategy. It needs its own plan. So obviously you've got to look at what the size of your products are and mm-hmm. figure out, all right, what's a great size box for it, right? And like that, what different sizes do I need in the warehouse? And then when it comes to branding, like there's certain things that people talk about a lot. They talk about porch pirates a lot. I hear about it all mm-hmm. the time. So they're like, oh, I don't want the outside of my box branded, but maybe we can do something on the inside. And it just depends, yeah. right? So like if you've got a product that gets stolen regularly, yeah, obviously you don't want to brand the outside, but you should still do something with the inside of it. So you think about what box you want, how you want it to look. And then you've got to get down to kind of the nitty gritty of like, how do you pack your products, right? Like nobody likes getting a bunch of trash in a box. So like, please don't just throw in an absorbent amount of peanuts and expect that to be like okay, because your client on the other end doesn't want chores, they want a good product. Right. And then I just go from there. It's like think about the messaging that you're going to do. So a lot of people have tried this. They take an insert, they print out a bunch of them, and they just put them into boxes, and then they're exactly. not really sure, like, did this help, did this hurt, was this anything, this is just a waste of
yeah.
money and time.
It's just a gamble. Yeah
exactly. And so to those people, I'd say what you need to do is do like a call to action you can measure. So like put a something with a QR code and then treat it like an email, right? Like mm-hmm. you've got, hey, here's a special offer, and it can't be the same offer. All right, I'm gonna get on a tangent here for a second. So many times I see these things where it's like, the customer goes through the checkout process and it's like, oh, yes. hey, you get 20% off if you give us an email.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And they don't do it. But then that same company is like, well, what if I offer them that same 20% again in the box? It's like you gotta come up with different offers. So
brainstorming essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just gotta use the box to provide value that doesn't exist elsewhere.
Exactly. And that's where I want to take the conversation next, because I feel, and maybe you can help me out here, that the value you give to your customer is going to shift from the type of industry you target. What do I mean? I feel, and maybe you can give me some example, it's not the same kind of experience and value that a person that buys cosmetics is looking to get out of a box compared to a person that is buying sports items. You know, it's a completely different mindset. They're expecting different things in the box and all that. So I'm wondering, from the perspective of me as a seller, is there any guidelines in terms of, if you do cosmetics, you should always try to target this kind of templates. If you do sports, this kind of templates. If you do food, this kind of templates. Is there some guidelines that exist out there, or how you come up with at least the starting point, you know, or what you should be doing?
Sure. So I would say, all right, let's just do the two industries you mentioned, right? Sports and cosmetics. Mm-hmm. There's not a one-size-fits-all sports setup. It depends on the brand, because, all right, so we've got two different brands. One brand will sell baseball gloves, and mm-hmm. their gloves are like have certain care instructions and like, hey, here's how you set it up, here's how you wear it. And I don't know if you've played baseball before, but just,
you
gotta oil it up, you gotta wrap it, all this other stuff. Not everybody knows that. So some people will send out that kind of product information saying like, hey, here's how you do this, or here's a video showing you how to do this correctly with our particular brand. But if you've got like another soccer brand and they're like very popular, football. I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. I'm so American.
Football. That's correct.
Yes. You've got a football brand. And they see more traffic coming to them through like their Instagram, their TikTok. When they're going to do their unboxing experience, they may care more about like, how do I drive people to a piece of content that I want them to see with this offer? So it really depends on your brand's model, right? Not every model is built the same. Not everybody's driving traffic to the same places. It depends on what your goals are. And so that's where we would start with any brand. And on the cosmetic side, I will tell you, there is a huge, huge need for sending out how-to instructions or like routine instructions with makeup.
Yes.
So you've got these
like tutorials. So how you make this kind of makeup, this kind of routine on when you wake up, things like that, I guess.
Or use this product in this sequence, because if you use it before this other product, it's not going to work as well. So we've got brands that will use us to deliver these custom routines. So if somebody orders a routine, they'll say like, oh, I want this one, and I want it to have this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. Well, then it looks into the CRM to figure out like, all right, they just ordered these things. What template is this? Like, which routine is this? And then it spits out the exact instructions for that specific routine to that person.
Love it. And I think, and this is also a small conversation I want to have with you. If you're very smart with these pieces of content, effectively, they can be upsell tools, right? Because on those videos, you might say, oh, but to get the most out of this pro, you actually need this accessory that, like, by coincidence, we also sell it, or this different thing. And then you basically showcase the whole ecosystem of your brand. And then they know that from that initial pro, they discover you. Now they actually need other accessories to get the most out of your brand, right?
You know, you're so far ahead. Yeah. Like, you've got this already. It's like, we recommend people to kind of look at the SKUs that are purchased, right? So you'll get the SKUs that come through. And then if you've got a certain product that has like a complete the look type thing, you can say, mm-hmm. oh, they got this SKU. Here's the remaining ones. And then if you want, you can say, here's the remaining ones plus a discount if you order them within like 48 hours.
Nice. Urgency. Yeah, you add that urgency and call to action. Very smart. Love it. Now, something I love about what you guys bring to the table with your system is that effectively, and you briefly mentioned that, people use inserts and all of that, but they don't have a proper way to track it. Like, okay, what happened after they scanned the QR code? Did they give me their email or phone number? How often I'm following up with them and all of that? So I know that you guys, once a person interacts with the insert, you create a whole funnel, right? And now, why I'm mentioning this, because I would be interested to learn from you, on average, what is usually, and I know this is going to shift from category to category. Sure, I totally get that, because some people, it behaves different depending on the niche. But on average, what is a conversion of an insert in terms of upselling? Like, what is a percentage that you see usually happen when it comes to insert?
Sure. So what we kind of use as a benchmark is a 5 to 10% lift in your reorder rates. So if you're rolling out your boxing marketing strategy across all your packages, you're going to see a rough, 5%, 10% lift in your reorder rate. If you're setting up something that's very consistent and something that's methodical, like you've got not the same insert going in every package, right? What we do is like, we'll do one by order count, like how many times have they ordered? And every time they order, they get a different insert, or maybe things by SKU or things by category that they're purchasing from. Or this one's really big. It's like, if they're in the loyalty program or if they're not in the loyalty program, and if they're not, like, how do we get them to join? Like, you come up with a series of campaigns to them to try and get them to join your loyalty program.
Love it. So I guess usually the methodology you recommend here from inserts is that based on, and I guess maybe you can give some examples, is that based on the interactions they have with the landing page after the QR code, it could be that maybe they don't give you their full email, or they give you the email, but then they don't interact with the coupon, or they interact with the coupon, but they don't interact with the VIP society that you have. I guess you have then different funnels to retarget them, right? That's usually what you recommend. Yeah.
So the customers can get as detailed as they want. So when people come to work with us, there's some people that just want to put inserts in their boxes, right? But then there are others that want this very data-driven approach, which I recommend to everybody. But not everybody is...
Don't like the technicality that is...
Yeah, they don't want to structure their data. They're like, this would be a lot of work. I don't want to do this. Yeah. But the brands that really care about their data are able to do all of this stuff, right? Like they can pass us the information that they need, and then we can pass back to them what's happening with their pages. And like if they, for instance, some people use a dynamic QR code on their template. So like every customer will have a different QR. Yeah. So when they tag that QR, I'm getting a reminder on my Alexa, my bad.
Don't worry. That's right.
The dynamic QR code. Yeah. So on the dynamic QR code, basically they'll pass something that's tied to the customer. When the customer scans that, it can take them, to like their own customer landing page they'll see on their CRM, like, oh, this customer is engaging with this specific piece. And so some people can use that to trigger off emails later, or maybe if they're trying to sell something that's really high end, to trigger off like a task to a BDR to like give them a call.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And now, just to dive a little bit deeper into these dynamic QR codes. So effectively, what we're trying to do here is, from a data-driven perspective is to try, I guess, multiple funnels and figure out which one is the most effective to then double down on that funnel. Is that what we're trying to do here?
Okay. Yes, yes. Cool. So you've got different audiences that you create. You know, you kind of start off with this global audience and you get into mm-hmm. these different categories of like, what kind of behaviors are they doing? Maybe what programs are they enrolled in? What are they subscribed to? What are they not subscribed to? And then you create independent campaigns for each of those over time. Like nobody starts off with 100 campaigns, but there are people in our platform that literally have 200 plus campaigns that they're nice. Driving out to these different audiences. It's a very unique touch point that not a lot of people are using. And once people start to use it and they realize like, oh, wow, this is like 2% more revenue every year. It's like, all right, for a pretty sizable company, that can mean a lot.
Yeah, if we are already in the seven-figure bandwidth, we are talking thousands of dollars. It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah,
of course. Cool. Now, talking about the timelines of this. So, because when it comes to inserts and marketing in general, sometimes we need to be mindful that it takes time to get data and make then a validated decision if this is working or not for your business. So when it comes to inserts, based on your experience, how long usually we have to give to a specific strategy to actually tell, you know what, is really working or not? I know, to make a parenthesis here, that this is going to significantly change based on the data sample because it's not the same.
Yes.
100,000 people going to the insert that 100 people, of course. But again, based on your understanding of what you're seeing with your client, what is usually the recommendation? Waiting 1 month, 2 months? What is your take on?
Okay. Well, you've got so many insights. Maybe you should be doing this. You'd be good at this. So when you're sending out new campaigns, right? It's true. Like there's not a certain amount of time. It's the size of the sample. And it can also be the results, right? So like if you get 10,000 results in and you see like, our holdout group is performing drastically worse than this campaign, then you know like right away, like, all right, we've got statistical significance. We'll put it through the calculator. This is good. If they're comparable, you may have to have more sample size, right? Like you've got to keep growing it until there's enough data that drives statistical significance. For some people, they can do that in like a month. I mean, think about it this way. It's because you've got to have time for it to go through fulfillment. You got to have time for it to get shipped. You got to have time for it to get to the customer and then for the customer to want to convert after that.
Yeah.
So maybe a month is probably the soonest it could happen, even for a very large brand.
Cool. Love it. Now, I guess when it comes to creating this community and everything with our inserts, the other thing that I'm really curious to learn from you as well is how we can use this to leverage, for example, seasonality. What do I mean? Maybe your product sells better during Halloween, during Valentine's Day, during Christmas, you name it, right? And then you start to identify those patterns. Like, what are some of the things you guys are doing in-house or you have been seeing clients doing where you can start leveraging inserts to dynamically shift based on those trends? Yeah.
Okay. So there are a lot of hot holidays that mean a lot of different things to a lot of different brands, and not everyone is important to everybody. We do see that brands do very well when they introduce these seasonal trends, sales, or like these offers, right? And we do recommend that people do them, right? But you don't necessarily need to do one for every holiday. But if if you're an adult novelty company, right? Like you're not going to be shipping Mother's and Father's Day stuff. That'd be really weird. But if you, for instance, I'll give you a really good one. All right, so we've got a client that is sending out birthday stuff. So basically, mm-hmm. if the customer orders from this brand and it's close to their birthday, like within a month, it's like, hey, we're so excited about your birthday coming up. Here's like 30% off on this. Like, you know, use it wisely. Like, happy birthday. And that's the kind of stuff that's
personal
like,
touch. Personal
yeah,
touch, yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not a lot of people are doing that. So, and the way they've got it set up is it comes as a handwritten note. So it's like from the CEO.
It's like somebody spent time to do it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. And we've got a lot of really good ideas coming out of people in unique ways that I like most of the ideas that I get, right? Like I've just basically reiterating other genius ideas that other people have told me. And I'm like, wow, that's a great one. We should tell that to more people.
Yeah.
So it's really good. Biggest holidays by far, you know, like Christmas, you see a lot of things at Halloween, around Singles Day, obviously, and Black Friday.
Nice. Cool. That's very cool. Now, in terms of the inserts, I guess another question I have for you is the objective of these inserts. What is the angle, right? Because I guess some brands might do only this for the sake of awareness, because let's be honest, sometimes products don't really have a reorder nature. So there's no point in pushing reordering, because you're not going to buy a fridge twice in 1 year.
No.
So there is things like that. So now, I guess what I'm curious to know is, like, how do you see that affecting the behavior of insert? Like, because you have to be mindful of this, otherwise your whole funnel could be obsolete by the time you implement it, because it doesn't connect with the nature of your product. So how you make sure the insert is tailored toward that?
Okay, so if you're selling one-time products, right, like you're doing this strictly for branding, you're not doing this for the reorder rate. Right? Mm-hmm. If somebody's buying a fridge or a coffin, like, you've got to be mindful of that, right? Like, and you maybe just do something that adds a personal touch that is meaningful to the person. So I'll just use this fridge one. I don't have a fridge customer, but if we did, I would just recommend to them to send something that's like, hey, here's our return policy. Here's our guarantee to you. And like, here's, you know, maybe even something along the lines of like, hey, here's why we're in this business. Here's why we're doing this and why we care. And here's why our product is the best. Like, because at that point you're, and that's something that you could do just fine without personalization, right? Like somebody is not necessarily going to come to you with a refrigerator need and be like, oh, here's all my personal information for this, right? It's not like the beauty industry where somebody's like, oh yeah, I have this skin type, I have this hair type, I've got this eye color. Like, you're not going to have that. And so for those people, I just recommend, like, get some pre-printed inserts, make them as beautiful as you can, and then focus on things that make your brand special and different. I can't tell you how many times I open up an electronic that's literally just an electronic with a, like, hey, here's the manual. And it's like, all right.
Figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, what makes this different than anything else? Like, and it's tough to say.
Yeah. I think my two cents on this kind of product, which is what I usually have done in the past, is if the product is only, they can buy only once, I do something that includes peer-to-peer kind of activity. Like, you want your friend to also have a fridge? Like, give them this 10% coupon and make them happy, whatever, something like that, you know?
Oh,
something
yeah.
that incentivize yeah, yeah. a community build-up, right? So I think that's usually a good way of seeing it. Now, going back to the insert, I feel we've been only talking on the technicality, but let's be honest, all these technicalities can become obsolete as well. If the insert is not beautiful, it doesn't really inspire me to get my phone and take action, because if it's very bad design, it's not really appealing, all of that, it can kill the whole thing. So how you navigate that? Because now we start shifting a little bit on the design side of things, you know, branding that has to do more on the perception of, you know, colors and things along those lines, more than the actual technicality behind the insert. So what is your advice on that? Yeah.
Okay, so this varies from brand to brand, because not every brand necessarily needs a beautiful graphical piece. Like, there are lots of brands that want to focus on handwritten notes and trying to give it that personal touch that way. Obviously, it has to be nice. It has to be have an appealing aesthetic to it, but it just has to resonate with your brand. So whatever your branding is, right? Like, if your branding's great, your insert's probably going to be great as long as you stick to your branding. But if your branding's already bad, like, no amount of insert's going to help that. And the other thing that we see a lot of, this is a really interesting one. So we'll put generics versus personalized inserts in, right? So like, and we'll take literally the same exact insert and then just slap the person's first name at the top in like a bright color. It does tremendously better than just a generic. So like, if you're going to like personalize, just make sure that people can distinguish, like, this is personalized versus generic by glancing at it. Like, the moment, if they can glance at it and be like, that's for me, they're more likely to actually consume it. And in terms of, like, if you're sending generics, like, let's say you have a generic piece that you want to send out, just make sure that you are using an appropriate word count for the size of your piece, right? I can't say how many people try to put like 150, 200 words on a single, like,
oh my
tiny
God.
Card flyer.
So horrible, yeah.
no one wants to read your book, right? Like, just send them some information, maybe even bulleted information. A lot of it comes down to the copy to get people to convert. The aesthetics are very important, but if you have a beautiful flyer that's just too much, no one's going to consume that either.
Love it. And I think now to start concluding to the episode is, based on your experience, what is the best vehicle to get people to interact with your Instagram? And this is what I mean by that. We know we all usually talk about QR codes, but lately I've been hearing people using now NFCs as well, which is NFCs is basically you get your phone close to something and it brings the pop-up. Instead of you scanning it, it's like interaction with your phone. Also, here's some people just putting a link and people go to a link. So what is the best open up rate in terms of getting the people to sign up? Is a QR code still, or you see NFC being something being interacting where people get the phone close to this chip on an Instagram, you open a landing page, or just a traditional link where people just type the link and go to that? What is the thing you feel is working the best?
Okay, so people most commonly are using the QRs still, right? Like that it's tried and true. It's been around. I think people are starting to test more of these new platforms. And I think they're interesting, but I don't know that the consumer is necessarily doing them every time. Or that if I bet it depends on your demographic quite a bit. Like if you're shipping to older people, I really doubt that they're checking this out.
Exactly.
I have seen some really incredible things though. In terms of like the, have you seen these augmented reality things that are floating around? We've got some people that want to try these in their boxes and they look very cool.
Interesting.
But it just depends on if somebody is going to actually get their phone out, check out the box.
And the audience, what you say is super important. If the audience you are targeting is not technological savvy, it's like, it's going to ruin the whole experience. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure my dad doesn't know how to augment reality.
it's true. It's true. The I don't know. In terms of what is the best way to get people to interact, so if you've got a fulfillment team that's totally separate from your marketing team and like nobody has interaction with them, I would just check in on them, right? Because like sometimes what you see out of the fulfillment team is like they'll take the insert and just kind of like toss it in the box. But if you don't actually position your stuff and like make sure that it's like up front,
it can be at the bottom for
nobody could see it or they just miss it altogether. So if you've got something you're trying to get people to engage with, I would just make sure like, hey, this is sitting at the top of the box. And maybe if you're smart about it, you have something that indicates what is the top of the box so that when they open it, it's like, oh, there's the thing I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. In fact, something I have done that maybe people can take this tip. On some of the packaging, sometimes we have put a sticker that the only way you can open the product is remove the sticker, and the sticker says, stop, you need to scan me in order to use me successfully. And they have to scan the QR code, otherwise they rip the QR code apart. So, and you force it, you pretty much force it, you know? So,
that's a great one. You know, we talked about the packing peanuts. There's a lot of other like packing materials that sometimes covers up your inserts or prevents people from doing stuff. I think one of the important things that people need to do is just make sure they've got a clean experience and that everything makes sense in terms of like how you order stuff, right? Like you want this on top, you want nothing else in the way, and you just want it to look nice. So you know, just do what you can with what you've got, right? Because not everybody can afford an expensive box. It doesn't make sense.
And start evolving. Start evolving from there. And that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool, Tyler. So I guess pretty much towards the end of our episode. So before we conclude, is there anything else you feel like we didn't touch on today that you think, oh man, I need to share this last nugget so before we end the episode? Anything else you want to share?
I will just say, if you're not shipping something in your packages, you're probably missing out. I've got to say, most brands that aren't shipping something, you're losing out. Especially if you're not using a call to action, your unboxing experience has a 100% open rate, right? Like you should be putting a message in that if you're not.
Yeah, that's great, Tyler. I appreciate that. Cool. So in case people want to get in touch with you or the company on Digital and work with you guys, how people can find you?
Sure. So obviously our website is undigital.com. That's undigital.com. And an easy way to reach out to me is just my email. It's tdelarm@undigital.com.
Awesome, Tyler. thank you so much for your wisdom. It's been a pleasure. And I can't wait to see you soon at future events. Yeah. Thank you so much for everything. Pleasure.
Vincenzo, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by EcomC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.